We're turning our attention to the second half of Ephesians 6 and the verse 17. And I know that these words will be familiar to you. The sense of the verse is, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have been engaged now for some weeks in a short series of messages exploring the relationship between the Christian and his Bible. And we come to this text to observe that the Bible, as far as the individual Christian is concerned, is to be recognized as a weapon of war. The Bible as a weapon of war. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God has called His people to a battlefield. That becomes obvious to the Christian very shortly after conversion. They realize that they are in a spiritual warfare. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he urged upon him, as a servant of the Lord, this duty. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is the function and the duty of the child of God in their spiritual life. In the Old Testament, the psalmist writing in the Psalm 144, David is the psalmist on this occasion, he says this, blessed be the Lord. Was a happy thing for him to consider. It prompted praise in his soul. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. The psalm deals with the spiritual warfare that God had called him to. You will remember, I think, the words of Genesis 3:15 that teach us that God initiated this warfare that the child of God finds themselves in. When God's people engage in this spiritual battle and fight the good fight of faith, they do so not because they are revolutionary by nature, but because they have been called by God to such a battle. In the immediate wake of the fall of mankind into sin, and in that first promise of the gospel, the Lord Himself, in threatening the kingdom of the devil, said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. This is a battle started by the Lord, perpetuated by God in the work of redemption. It is He who draws the battle line. You know, we should never forget that. We should never forget that. When the Church of Jesus Christ faces controversy over the issue of being separated from the apostasy of the age, we must never forget that the battle line by God expounded in the Bible, and it is not so much to confessions of faith and books of order that we must turn our attention. We must be careful to determine the lines as they are drawn by God, because God has initiated a warfare into which every individual Christian is placed. On the battlefield of faith, the redeemed of the Lord have a single weapon with which to engage their enemies in this spiritual warfare. That weapon is described in our text as the Word of God. Here is an image, the image of a sword in the hand of a soldier, used to depict the relationship between the Christian and his Bible that underlies the critical nature of that relationship. You take into account what the Bible has to say about the nature of the enemies that you face as a believer in this life, you will come to understand that a soldier without this sword, without this weapon, is going to be easy prey to the ruthless hordes of enemies that oppose him and seek constantly to get a victory over him. I can remember some years ago, watching what were at the time disturbing news images of two soldiers being overwhelmed by antagonists, their own personal weapons removed and used against them. And the feeling of pathetic helplessness, of being without a weapon in the hands of those who were their mortal enemies, was a palpable feeling even in the news footage. There is nothing more pathetic, nothing more helplessly vulnerable than a soldier without a weapon, facing warfare that is for his life, facing circumstances in which he will either live in victory or die in defeat. The battle becomes an impossible one, utterly impossible, if he is without a weapon. Here is a picture that I think underscores for us in vivid terms the critical relationship between the Christian and his Bible. We have thought of already of the Bible as food. And certainly, we may, to some degree, identify with what it means to go hungry for a time, and the discomfort and the weakness and the helplessness that we may feel. We have thought of the Bible as a light, and we all, no doubt, have some experience of stumbling and maybe even falling in the dark. And that, of course, is the lot of the Christian who neglects his Bible. But you can fall in the dark and you can go hungry for a while and survive. But you're not going to survive very long on a battlefield without a weapon. Here is something that is for our very life. Not just for our comfort, not just for our well-being, not just for strength and vigor, but for our very life. Your life as a soldier of Jesus Christ, your function as a soldier of Jesus Christ depends upon your relationship to the Bible. The devil is against the Christian. So much is highlighted very powerfully in the context here. The deceitful power of the devil ranged against the Christian. The devil's crowd is against the Christian. The world is against the Christian. The sin of his own heart is against the Christian. He faces a battle that is overwhelming, that cannot be won in his own strength, and certainly cannot be won where he abandons his weapon. He needs an effective weapon to combat the opposition that is ranged against him. And that one weapon is his Bible. The soldier, the Christian soldier, is utterly powerless and helpless if he will not take and use his Bible. When I think of the imagery of the Word of God as a sword, I often think of the little snapshot that is given to us of one of David's mighty men, one of the heroes of David's kingdom, the man Eliezer. We read of him that, along with David, they defied the Philistines that were gathered to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. There is a beautiful but profound picture used of a man who's grown tired in the battle, but he can't let go of the sword. The sword clave to his hand. You maybe have been engaged in, well, manual work of one kind or another, and you've felt your hand cramp around the shaft of a tool, and you have worked and you've worked, and it comes to the point you hardly get your fingers straightened out again to let the thing go. Eliezer had a grip on the sword that it was hard to tell where the sword began and the hand ended. It stuck to him. It left its imprint in his hand, and God worked a great victory. I think that there is an example of how we should look upon this spiritual sword, how we should use it. It should fit our hand. We should be so familiar with its use, so dedicated to its use, so energized by the power of God in its use, that it wears a place in our hand. It becomes part of us. That it becomes an extension of our hand, an extension of our arm. It's not an ornament. It's a weapon of war that is to be used. And I want us to consider some thoughts related to this matter of the Christian's relationship with the Bible as a weapon of war. First, we're going to begin just with that thought. The Bible is a weapon of war. The Bible is a weapon of war. Now, right away, when we put it that way, you will understand that many, many Christians today do not ever think of the Bible in that way. That the Bible has become some sort of a mushy collection of fairy tales designed to be read like a bedtime story to make us feel good. The Bible is a weapon of war. It has a single purpose, just as a sword has a single purpose. Its purpose is war. There are many things in life that men become fairly inventive at repurposing them to other uses. But there's very little repurposing can be done with the sword. What else do you use it for? But for war. It's a weapon of war. It's interesting to think that all of the various aspects of Scripture, all of its component parts, must be seen in this way. In some way, every aspect of Scripture describes its nature as a sword. One of the texts in the Bible that describes some aspects of the nature of the Scriptures is 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Each of these functions of the Scripture, as they relate back to the component parts of the Word of God, must be seen to describe a weapon of war. The Bible comforts, it encourages, it soothes, it heals, it calms. But it ever does so as a sword in the context of warfare. It has a single purpose. Every part of the Word of God, every line of the Word of God must be seen in some sense as an aspect of the sword. It threatens. The sword is a threatening instrument. And the Bible, in its entirety, announces the hostility of God to all that is opposed to Him. The Bible announces the hostility of God to all that is opposed to Him. You must never forget that about the Bible. It is a threatening book. It comforts, certainly. But it only comforts when its threat has been heeded and responded to. When its threats have been the means of turning us to seek Christ, to make peace with God, to put away the enmity and the opposition to Him. Because this book threatens those that are the enemies of God. In the Psalm 7, the verse 11, we read there, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet or sharpen his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. The Bible threatens sinners. Threatens them with a sword, even the sword of divine judgment, the sword of divine wrath. Those that run contrary to the Word of God run up against the God of war. The psalmist here speaks of the sword, of the bow, of the instruments of death, the weapons of warfare God has at His disposal. What a thing it is to deal with a God who is angry with sin. This Bible is portrayed as a sword because it is a book that threatens all that God is opposed to. In the Old Testament, the word for sword comes from a verb that simply means to waste and to destroy. That's what God threatens against the wicked, against sin, against His enemies. Of course, for the Christian soldier, the Word of God is as a sword in that it reminds them that once the sword that they now carry in the King's service was turned against them. Once the point of the sword was in my direction. For I was, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, a child of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even through the gift of His Son, brought us to peace with Himself. But the sword is a weapon of war that threatens those that are opposed to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses taught the nation of Israel a prophetic song that has in it a reference to this very matter. Verse 41, if I wet, sharpen my glittering sword, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies, and will reward them that hate me. This book is a book that reveals the wrath of God against sin. against the enemies of God. It has a single purpose, to warn men that they might flee to Christ. It threatens wrath. It administers death. The sword is more than a threat in the hand of a soldier. Inevitably, the sword is used. The sword is the administrator of death. It cuts. It wounds. It kills. It can do nothing else. In Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 12, read those familiar words, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner and the thoughts of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You know what the apostle is writing of there? When he writes the word of God, he is particularly thinking of the sentence of God against sin that was executed against the nation of Israel in their unbelief and refusing to enter into the land of Canaan. The command of God, the word of God, it's a sharp sword. It enters the heart. It finds sin in the heart. It finds sin in the soul. And it executes judgment. Here is a weapon, even the word of God, that in the hands of God Himself is the instrument of death to sinners. They perish at the word of God. They perish under the sentence of divine wrath against their sin. It's a sword that is not idle. It's a sword that cannot be resisted. And this word that the apostle has in view in our text, the word of God, speaking of the scriptures as they're in their entirety, is likened to a sword. It's going to administer death. It pronounces death upon the sinner. It administers death to sin even in the life of the Christian. Because one of the usages of this sword has to be in our own spiritual condition against sin, against the flesh, cutting it off, putting to death the remnants of the old man at work within us. It's a sword that has to be employed. It administers death. This is one of the rigors of Christian warfare. God has not equipped His army with feather dusters to tickle the ears of men and women. He has equipped His army with a word that is as a sword that you cannot use without drawing blood. You cannot use this word without causing offense, without causing hurt, without causing pain. But it's pain that's necessary in order for life to be given and healing to be imparted through the gospel. But you can't use it without drawing blood. There never has been any way in which it's possible to apply the word of God either to your own heart or to anybody else's heart without hurt. Of course, compromising Christians and compromising preachers, particularly down through the generations, have long sought a way to make the Bible inoffensive. But you see, when you take away the sword, The soldier's helpless. The army goes nowhere. It can accomplish nothing. You rob the church of its vitality. You rob it of its power. You rob it of its victory when you rob it of the Word of God as a sword. And whether you substitute a new version that seems to soften the language of Scripture, or whether you institute a new message that is a new interpretation of Scripture to try to avoid ruffling feathers, all you're doing is robbing the Christian as an individual and the church as an entity, robbing them of any ability to prosecute the warfare God has called us to. The Bible must be seen as a weapon of war. That is its nature. I want you to consider something else about this weapon of war, because the Apostle emphasizes here the divine nature of this sword that has been given to us. Verse 17, it is described as the sword of the Spirit. Not a spiritual sword. There's a difference. It is that. But this is the sword of the Spirit. This is the sword of the Holy Ghost. This is the weapon of God the Spirit that He uses as the great executor of the Godhead and the purposes of redemption. What weapon does the Holy Ghost use in the battle with Satan and sin? The Word of God. It's a weapon forged by the Holy Ghost Himself, inspired by Him, given by Him, preserved by Him, used by Him, even in the hand of the individual Christian. It can only be used in His strength. It is clearly inferred here that it is the will of the Spirit of God that the servants of Jesus Christ use this book as a sword. The mark of a Christian is that they are born again of the Spirit, that they are indwelt by the Spirit, and the Spirit never goes without the sword. It's His sword. It's His word. He takes it where He goes, where He works. The Bible is employed as a sword. Where He resides, the Bible is employed as a sword. As that sword is used, its cutting force and power is its edge, if we put it that way, is the power of the omnipotent Spirit Himself. You know, that's what the edge of the sword is. Before you were saved, you heard the Bible. You heard texts of Scripture. They went in one ear and out the other. And they didn't make the least impression. And then one day, maybe even a text you'd heard 100 times before, and it cut you to the bone. Because the Holy Ghost had used it. And it went down deep into the soul, and it cut your heart wide open, and the Word was engrafted in, and you were born of God. He is the edge on the sword. We rely on His work to make the Word accomplish something, to make a Bible text accomplish something, to make biblical preaching accomplish something. The sword can only have an edge because it's the sword of the Spirit. If it's your sword or my sword, it'll be like one of those little play things we give to a kid made out of a broomstick. And there's no cutting power in it. But if it's the sword of the Spirit, and employed in His will, in His way, in His power, it'll cut. It'll work. The energizing spirit of Christian warfare is the Holy Ghost. Where the Holy Ghost withdraws, His power, His influence, the Christian personally and the church generally, loses their cutting edge. Might still have the Bible, but it's not much of a sword. We desperately need in these days the power, personally and corporately, the power of the Holy Ghost, that when we use the Word of God, it draws blood. It cuts. It wounds. It has an effect. It opens the heart. The divine nature of the sword is seen not only in this description as the sword of the Spirit, but in the fact of the explanation of the picture in verse 17. It is the Word of God. Again, the divine origin and nature of this sword is emphasized. There's a particular view of the Scriptures that is suggested to us here. If the apostle had used the word, the Bible, we'd understand what he meant. If he used the Scriptures, we'd understand what he meant. Something special about the terminology, the Word of God. It's a beautiful expression, a dogmatic statement of our faith when we say, I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. There is an emphasizing of its inspiration and of its authority. The Word of God should settle the matter. For every Christian, that should be an argument that settles the question, every question. Is it in the Word of God? It doesn't matter if I've never heard it before, never been challenged about it before, never practiced it before. Is it in the Word of God? That's the authority. It's inspiration, it's authority, but surely there's something more suggested to us here. That here is a Christian soldier in communion with God. A word is to be heard. A word is but a vehicle to communicate knowledge and understanding and truth and wisdom from one party to another. And in that inauguration of the Christian into the army of God, in the day of their conversion, if you like, there's a presentation of the sword. And that day there begins a communication. God speaks to me. God speaks to His people. The Word of God. When the Christian recognizes the Bible as the Word of the living God and lives to experience communication with God through that Word, you have a Christian who wears the sword, armed for battle. Sadly, today there are many who hesitate in their recognition of the Bible as the authoritative Word of the living God. There are many who, even if they were prepared to acknowledge that as a profession of faith, know little by experience of the communication of that word to their own soul. And so they stand as a soldier without a sword, or a soldier whose sword has rusted into his scabbard, and though he has a sword, it's useless. Can do nothing. Well, let this truth burn its way into our heart. This is the Word of God. And that doctrine. That doctrine preserves militancy in the Christian. Because if this book is the Word of God, then I have to stand for it. I have to obey it. I have to do all in my power to see this Word advanced and carried through. There's a battle that I must fight if I believe this Bible is the Word of God. It's described further as part of the armor of God. Verse 11, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. It's an armor. It's the armor of God because it's the armor God has provided. It has a divine origin, a divine source, forged by divine power and grace. The Word of God is God's weapon. God's weapon of choice. You know, God could accomplish His purpose in an infinite number of ways and done so righteously and wisely. But you will invariably find God accomplishes His purpose through His Word. Through His Word. I always marvel at verses in the book of Genesis, where as far as human history is concerned, the purpose of God for mankind had its tangible beginning. And God said, let there be light, and so on and so forth. He accomplishes His purpose through His Word. But this was a weapon used by Christ Himself, and in that special sense it is the armor of God, the armor of the God-man. When the Lord Jesus took on the devil in the wilderness in Matthew 4, and the devil came against Him to tempt, in a ferocious onslaught of devilish warfare against our champion, He drew the sword and He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. When He went into the temple in Matthew 21 to cleanse it of those that had brought in pollutions there and had become the enemies of God and of God's people, what did He say? It is written. It is written. When He comes again in power and great glory in Revelation 19 as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He will speak. And that word will be as a sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of His mouth to destroy His enemies, chiefly the Antichrist himself. This is the weapon of God. It's pressed into the hands of God's people. Your relationship to the Bible must be as the relationship of a soldier to his sword. The final thought I want you to observe is this, that the Christian must take and employ this weapon. Your Bible is not an ornament. It is a weapon of war, not for ceremonial purposes, but for real, actual, hands-on, eyeball-to-eyeball warfare with Satan and sin. The Christian has no option but to use his Bible as a sword. If the Bible is converted to any other use, you misuse it. You're abusing it. You're defying the purpose of God. If you will not take up this Bible and fight for what this Bible teaches, if you will not take up this Bible and stand for the doctrine that it reveals, you are abusing it. You are abusing it. If the sword-like quality of the Scripture is ignored, then you don't understand the Bible. You don't understand it. If you were to see a man take down a hunting rifle and go out and dig the flower bed with it, you would think to yourself, there's a man doesn't understand what that thing's for. Yet there are so many that take the sword of the Spirit and the things they use it for. Advancing sin and darkness and the world and encouraging wicked men in their sin. You have no option but use this as a sword. That's what God has forged it to be. His word is a sword. The Christian must take a militant stand on God's side. There must be a readiness to go to war with the enemies of God. That is the result of embracing and believing the Bible. The minute you take this book in your hand and you say, I believe this is the Word of God, you are putting your hand to a sword that you must use. You're going to war. But you must remember that if we use the Bible as a sword and take it up as a sword, that will immediately make you a target for the enemies of God. Because the minute you put your hand on God's sword, you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. It identifies you, you see, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, and therefore you will draw down on your head all of the opposition and hatred that the world and the devil and sin has for Christ Himself. It identifies you as a threat. It identifies you as an enemy. You know, a right handling of and a right experience of the Bible is not for the lily-livered and the faint of heart. It's a sword. It has to be used that way. And it's going to identify you as an enemy, as far as the enemies of God are concerned. And yet, because it is the sword of God, you put your hand on this sword and you are securing for yourself complete and final and eternal victory. Deal with the Bible as a sword and you can't lose. You can't be overcome. Use your Bible as a weapon of war. Victory is yours. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And though dealing with the Bible in this way and using it in this way is not going to be popular today, even among hordes of professing Christians, by dealing with God's Word in this way and using it as an instrument of warfare against Satan, sin, and the world and the flesh, you put yourself in the way of victory. You can't lose. May God give us that healthy regard and respect for this book, that we might recognize that we're going to live by it on the battlefield, or perish without it. May we be those faithful in the use of the sword in these days.